You're listening to the Star Wars Report, episode 29. Still Waters Run Deep. Or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Star Wars. Everybody, welcome to this, the Star Wars Report podcast, a video edition, as a matter of fact. For those of you tuning in live on our Ustream page, a little bit of not what we usually do. We usually were live on Middle Earth Network Radio, but had some technical difficulties getting the station started in a way that would work. That's what you get with broadcasting with all this new technology. It doesn't always work, but hey, you're listening to us live. Thank you guys, everyone who's born with us and is tuned in live. And thank you to everybody who has chosen to download this weird little thing called an MP3 and choose to spend about an hour of their time with us as we discuss the latest and greatest in the Star Wars fan community, all the latest Star Wars news, and all kinds of just Star Wars yumminess that is the Star Wars Report podcast. I'm your host, Riley Blanton, this week, and really glad to once again welcome my sister and co-host, Bethany. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here and glad we finally got it working. Actually, you did most of the work.
Don't we do that every week? I'm glad this thing's finally working. It's like an old R2 unit. It's like Whistler. That's your cue, Mark. Whistler has an upgrade, I noticed.
Yes, he's been quite the little snot. Yes, I called you out.
Not nearly as
I'm gonna put a restraining hold on if you don't calm down.
Is not nearly as precocious, but twice as entertaining, Mr. Mark Herleman, our third co-host. Welcome to the show this evening.
Hey everybody! Hey. Welcome from Echo Base.
From our Oregon complex. And this time we're in the Georgia studios, which is a lot of fun. Well, usually we get straight into the news. I'm going to take a sip of water. Breathe for a second.
But
we're not
them?
Doing that this week. Actually, I want to start off the show this week a little bit unusually, guys. And I actually took a few notes, believe it or not. I'm somewhat reasonably prepared.
You have your own personal show notes that you're keeping from us? Is that what you're telling me?
I'm showing the audience right now. There it is. There it is. There it is. My little whiteboard. So actually, someone earlier.
The joy here, though, is we open up the show notes tonight, and there's like almost four pages worth of stuff. And Riley's like, don't worry. I got a little something that's going to take care of at least half the show. And we're like, well, what is it? He's like, it's a surprise.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm surprised already.
Well, it's a surprise. Earlier this week, a gentleman sent me a link on Facebook. A friend, quote unquote, sent me a link on Facebook, which is a whole nother issue on whether the way Facebook uses the terminology very loosely. But a friend, or a colleague of mine, I should say, that might be a better way to put it, posted a link on his wall, and the way it works with Facebook is that you can tag someone in your post. You know, Mark, you've done this. You've tagged me in a post. You're like, oh, so-and-so would be interested in that. So you tag somebody.
Telling Bethany, if she doesn't get on Facebook, I can't tag that I do the show with her.
Well, yeah, that's right, because you can put an at reply and you need a hyperlink and it shows up in my notification area.
I am going to interject here.
Okay.
All right. Riley and I can feel the vibes coming off of both of us. These sort of
yeah, Bethany, set up
ways.
Our week first before I start.
Oh goodness! I don't want to ruin.
No, not the whole thing, at your discretion.
Okay, our week. Let's see. Bad.
Okay.
Bad
and
worse and more bad and annoying on top of that. And I'm ready to kill anyone who gets my way tomorrow.
Oh wow!
Essentially.
It was a fun show, guys. We'll see you next week as we...
Oh, goodness.
I think the podcast is only going to be better now, though.
So I just want to say...
Just that full disclosure.
Be nice.
Okay.
We're going to be
nice. Be
nice.
Breathe.
We can go buy a punching bag if we need to.
All right.
Or take it out on the Wii Fit, you know?
Or take it out on
the... Run
a
mile.
Yeah.
Or something.
Just let out a good roar, you know?
Yeah.
Nice.
Nice. But someone tagged me in a post that they did on a Star Wars article. And actually, it says here on my notes to read an excerpt from the article, and I'm not even going to do it. I thought about it a few minutes ago, besides the technical... No, you can't look at them.
Oh,
don't look at my
on.
Notes. No. And I was going to read an excerpt of this article. And let me start off with this, and I'm actually not going to look at the chat room during this, and I'm not going to... I'm just going to look at my notes because I might change my mind now, but I want to kind of go off of this as how I was feeling at the time. And on my notes it said to read an excerpt, and like I said, I don't plan on doing that. I'm not even going to even source this article. It was another very tired old argument specifically in this case, on why George Lucas and Rick McCallum should not make the live-action series, the Star Wars live-action series. That they shouldn't do it. It's a bad idea. It's a disservice to us all. They shouldn't. And it rooted at a lot of the very traditional George Lucas bashing that has very little grounds, in my opinion. And so... full disclosure, I didn't even get through the whole article. I stopped reading it when I could basically predict every sentence, because I've kind of realized something, Bethany.
What's that?
I've been doing this for a while. I'm getting old.
what have you been doing for a while?
I'm getting and jaded. Old and jaded I am. I am. This was occurring to me this week as I realized this, that I'm getting to be a jaded old fanboy. I'm 20 years old. I feel like this old 47-year-old guy who does nothing but follow Star Wars and get all ranty about it. Because I don't want to become the devil. I don't want to become that guy, because that guy is the very guy who I'm offended at. Who wrote this article, which I did not give my full even time or attention to. But the premise of this article, it was on a conservative political blog, and it was interesting because the first precedence that of what I gathered, and this is where it's really hard to make a strong argument against something that I didn't even fully give the opposing side my full attention, which is not usually something I would want to do. Usually you want to try to see both sides. And that's where I think I'm realizing that I am becoming that devil. I am becoming that jaded guy, because I didn't, and I know, and I'm admitting that I didn't look at and try to sympathize on both sides. Because the first premise was a brief quote from Rick McCallum in about two separate interviews that he's done over the past few days, both which are 10, 12, 15 minutes long overall. I don't even know the full time. With IGN, talking about the live-action series, a lot about the finances of it and why it hasn't been made. And we've talked about this at great length. There's really no new information, honestly. It's just the fact that it was recorded recently was new. And so basically this premise of what offended this person was that a quote from Rick McCallum that I will paraphrase is basically something to the extent of, there will be these underground, it's going to be like Star Wars Underground, there's going to be smugglers and bad guys and the impoverished, and it's going to be like the background characters, none of the main characters, and you're going to have like these Wall Street type of goons, yada yada yada. And that was like
Wall
a brief
Street goons.
Yeah, oh, a brief, yeah, I know, I'm using 1940s.
Yeah, Wall Street
language.
Goons are the worst. You don't know it because it's a secret. Keep it secret.
But,
keep it safe.
And so... At this point, that was a very brief comment by Rick McCallum in trying to describe this television series, which has 50 scripts completed, but not the budget to complete its vision. And so my initial reaction, which is my reaction at the moment, is that he was making the claim that this show is going to be like a modern commentary on our current political environment, where we have the Occupy movement. And it was going to be all like one-sided politically speaking, and that it was going to impose all of these liberal views. And I'm being more political than I think we've ever been on the show because of the nature of this article and because of the audacity of its claims. I find it remarkable that anyone could think that George Lucas would make a show that was purely just to make like some kind of political statement against the Occupy movement, more of a culture and a movement of entitlement, instead of making it a fantastic galactic scale television show that will blow our minds in the way that its visceral, beautiful take on an alternate universe, an alternate galaxy that's been unprecedented on television, the kind of thing that would now take hundreds of millions of dollars to make in a feature film, but to be done in a serialized television form. A form that's already been breaking grounds with television shows like Spartacus and television shows like Game of Thrones, both of which I'm not very familiar with, other than the fact to know that they're these very visceral, large-scale sci-fi and fantasy type of television shows, which have been doing very well and are very high budget. Not in the budget that Lucas is talking about at this point, but basically, point being, it's absurd to take offense at this interview and claim that this project should not come to fruition based solely on the fact that you think that it might somehow sympathize with a certain political point of view. And that I personally think is absurd. Think about George Lucas. Star Wars is a story of self-empowerment, not self-entitlement. Polar opposite. So the very idea is ridiculous in itself. It's a story about Luke Skywalker and the decisions he made and the choices that he made that changed a galaxy. It's a tale about Anakin Skywalker and the choices and decisions he made that also changed the galaxy for worse. Lessons to be learned. Polar opposite of the self-entitlement culture that it represents in the Occupy movement that this article is making the claim. My prime example to give some a specific counter argument. Prime example is Red Tails, a film that just came out this month. I may already be out. Actually, I haven't even looked it up. Red Tails is a tale of the Tuskegee Airmen, a movie that George Lucas has been working on for 23 years. One which has a big budget, which is a visual movie. It's about the dogfights of World War II and the Tuskegee Airmen, the first African-American airman to serve in the United States Army Air Corps. A really inspiring story, of which I'm very familiar with, especially because of my involvement in the Civil Air Patrol Cadet Program, where we really focus on educating youth in aerospace. And, of course, a big part of that was the inspiring tale of the Tuskegee Airmen. The Tuskegee Airmen are a prime example of self-empowerment. They fought a system. They fought prejudice. They fought against so many things for the very right to serve our country, to die, to protect our fighter bombers, and prove that they were some of the best at what they did. And I think bringing a beautiful and visual big screen adaptation of their time is completely overdue. And something that Hollywood is not willing to do and turned down multiple times. George Lucas funded this movie himself because Hollywood did not believe. Here. Oh, Bethany, yeah, Bethany, please quote him.
Okay,
Hollywood
George Lucas put $58 million,
$58 million
of his own money into the movie and is spending another $35 million
for its distribution. Not even just the budget of the movie, but also the distribution. A movie that movie studios would not do because they don't believe that an action movie that's high budget with an all African-American cast could be successful.
Actually, let me say quote what he says on the Jon Stewart show. He said earlier that It's a reasonably expensive movie, and he wanted it to be. He wanted it to be a very well-made, well-produced movie with high quality actors.
Yeah, it's not about the special effects. Sorry.
With high-quality actors, good script writers and great special effects, because war movies with dogfights are better with special effects. But he said, it's a reasonably expensive movie. Normally black movies, like Tyler Perry movies or something, they're very low budget.
Yep.
Even they won't really release, they meaning Hollywood, won't really release his movies. It just goes to one of the lower, less major distributors, and it costs more than what those movies make. And he says, they don't believe that there's a foreign market for movies like mine, and that's 60% of their profit. I showed it to all of them, and they said, no, we don't know how to market a movie like this. He said, it's an all-black movie. There's
ridiculous.
There's no major white roles in it at all. It's one of the first all-black action pictures ever made.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Glory, the movie Glory, where you have a lot of white officers running these guys into cannon fire. They, the African Americans, are the real heroes.
And it's not even a film, just kind of on a side note, that's a stereotypical African American football player or African American member of the military or something, where he overcomes and all of the race isn't even an issue in this movie. It's about the Tuskegee Airmen, the race and the color.
Yeah,
of skin,
it's like a historical reference.
Yes. And so that's not even an issue. So
there were no white guys on the base because they weren't there.
Well, and so my point being. Red Tails is another example of George Lucas's strong message to young people, and he specifically stated in the Jon Stewart Daily Show interview that this was geared towards young men, boys, 12-year-old boys. Actually, really the same demographic of the Clone Wars, really. And that's a story of self-empowerment, polar opposite to this article. And so my final point is, if you don't like it, then do not waste your time on it. If you do not like the Star Wars prequels, then do not waste your time, breath, and finger energy on your keyboard to spend hours and hours focusing on them, lambasting them, and telling everyone how much you hate them. Is it all right? Do I care if you like the prequels? No, I don't. You can like whatever about Star Wars you like, and you are welcome in the Star Wars Report
like
community.
You can go like the show The Gossip Girl.
No,
I won't care. Well, like something and enjoy it. It's entertainment. You're supposed to be entertained. Unless you're a movie critic by trade and you're paid to give your opinion one way or the other, good or bad, then don't spend time doing things and watching things and consuming things that you don't like. You're wasting your time.
However, just if someone doesn't like the prequels, then they're welcome to the Star Wars Report. This podcast will focus on what we love about Star Wars, which happens to be quite a bit. If you happen to be a big Expanded Universe lover, this is your home. You can listen to this show and you will get Expanded Universe content where we talk about the latest books that we love. And, of course, Beyond the Film, Star Wars Beyond the Films, to give it a plug to you, Mark. If you like the prequels, this is your place. You are welcome home. You are listening to a podcast that is welcoming to all fans, with one exception. This is where I'm realizing where I'm getting to be old and grumpy. If you are only able to focus on what you don't like about Star Wars, to rant and rave about the things that bother you, to always critique, then what are you doing here? Why are you listening to this podcast? Just stop. Find a podcast about Battlestar Galactica or whatever else you happen to like. Focus on that. And I'm not going to sit here and draw lines and say, you have to always be positive. No, you don't have to always be positive. I'm not even willing to say that you have to be at least 50-50. I'm not drawing lines. I'm just saying overall, why? Why focus on things that you hate about Star Wars? What are you doing here? Why are you walking down in this neighborhood? Why are you waving to me in from your car? It's a greater question that I don't think will be answered. But I will never understand. It's the kind of thing that I just cannot wrap my head around. Why people love to focus on things that they hate, whether it be Star Wars, Lord of the Rings.
It's not
Star Wars. It's not Star Wars. It's not just Lord of the Rings. It's not just this community or that community. It's everywhere. It's in your real life. It's in your church. It's at your work. It's among your family. It's things that you have to deal with. So it's not just the Star Wars community. But life is too short to spend time around people, virtual or otherwise, who suck the happiness out of it. If you do not like it, then don't waste your time focusing on it. Thank you.
Okay. I claim the floor.
I rest. I rest my case. I'm done. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Had a great... No, I'm kidding. I give the floor, gentlemen. I understand...
And ladies.
And lady. I understand that I've taken up the first 20 minutes of the show, and I don't mean to be that selfish. So by all means, what am I... Am I wrong, what, Bethany?
I don't think you're wrong. I enjoy critiquing things, and yes, I will use that word. I like
good choice.
Looking at characters and saying, and comparing them. What did Anakin do versus what Luke did? Who do I like better? Why do I like so and so better? Why don't I like so and so more? You know, what about these characters is appealing? What's not appealing about them? I enjoy critiquing things, and probably a lot of you guys have come to realize that. But I don't enjoy spending time hating on something, because if I hate something, I don't consume it. I leave it alone. It's not worth my time for entertainment. I have to consume enough things that I don't like or am not interested in for school. Why would I do that for entertainment?
That's a great point.
I mean, yeah. So I'm just considering here why. You know, why would I do that, really? It's a waste of time.
That's the question. Why?
But one thing I don't get is the attitude that for some reason arguments are fun. Or essentially that hating on something is fun. Similarly to Twilight. I don't particularly like Twilight, as most of you probably already know this as well. I haven't seen all the movies, I haven't read all the books, so I can't entirely talk to them, but I don't particularly like the message. I do think parts of it are fun and funny, but if I don't like them, I'm not going to sit down and read all the books. I might decide to watch a movie and have fun with it. I can have fun with it, even if I don't like all of it, so I don't have to like all of it. I guess, I hope I'm making sense here. It's just, it's my viewpoint.
It's a delicate subject. You know, I'm right there with you. I mean, I do think to a degree it can be fun to argue and banter, you know, especially if, you know, the people are well-versed in what they're talking about. And certain books, like I'll use Darth Bane, the third Darth Bane novel as an example. The ending there was so written so well, you could go, well, Bane lived, or you could go, no, Bane died. And, you know, yes, we get an official answer, but even the official answer we were given was given in a way where people could still technically argue the fact. But it's interesting, though, when you watch people that actually can do it politely without getting angry and filled with hate, the points that come up. I mean, I constantly watch other fans in the forums and stuff, and I'm just intrigued with their thoughts about how things worked based off of this event or that event. So I think that there is a level of you need that critiquing that you were talking about, that, you know, it's part of everyone's fandom. But I think also in fandom, you get where Riley's at, where you just feel like, you know, today is one of those days where you're like, enough is enough. Can't we just all enjoy it again?
Yeah.
But I think at the end of the day, though, there's just too much to enjoy, that even the people that are hating on things, they still love Star Wars. It just... mad that things aren't going the way that they thought they should have gone. There are a lot of people that have a tough time swallowing that unlearn what you have learned pill. I mean, I for one, I've choked on it a few times, but, you know, it comes with the territory. You got to accept that. And I think that also is something for like you, Riley, that you got to accept too, that, you know, trolls and haters are going to be out there, and it comes with the territory. I mean, I'm right there with you. It bangs your head on a desk sometimes when you interact with some people, but, you know, I think that's the thing, is you just got to figure out which fans, you know, when you're on the community side of things, which fans kind of start to rub you raw after a while of certain topics, and avoid those topics with them. I mean, there are some fans that I know that, you know, I won't talk about midichlorians with them, or I won't talk about is there or isn't there a dark side with them, because I just know where, you know, they're just so entrenched in their beliefs of, well, the books at one point were like this, and that's how it's always going to be for me. And, you know, yeah. You have that. like what I've heard coined before is personal canon levels. I see that a lot where people run with that in their own mind. Well, Star Wars is this way because I have my own personal canon. And yeah, that works for you. And it might work for a couple of your friends you've convinced to follow your personal canon. But at the end of the day, George Lucas follows his own personal canon, and we all kind of have to follow that too.
It's so true.
You know, it will strive some feelings, and those feelings will be strong. And I think that that's just part of the fun of fandom sometimes, and the fanatical side of fandom as well that we see. And, you know, every once in a while you'll get – I just saw a funny review. I can't remember the guy's name. I posted the link to you guys for episode 4. And he called it Star Wars because it was not A New Hope. And he was just going on. He was an old trilogy fan, and I was just dying. I thought it was classic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, he brought up some things. And some people, I think even Bethany thought, like, some of the things he was hitting on were close to hating. But I was just like, no, this guy's, like, touching all the classics. You know, like, Han shot first. Greedo's about to shoot under the table, and Han blows him out of his seat. I mean, just one of those things. It's like, I don't know. The where I'm at in fandom, I've seen it almost all from one direction or another. So
yeah.
I just kind of enjoy the ride. And I love watching, like in Riley's case, the newer fans that come in. They've been around for a couple years and like, Mark, all right, stop with the hate. That's the love. I want everything that was good.
Mark, let me ask you, am I just now coming to an epiphany that this is just the way things are and I just need to chill out? Because that might be, I mean, honestly, that might be what I need to do.
That, you know, I honestly think there is a level of that. I mean, I remember watching Austin hit a level like that. I remember I had a friend, Misu, on the official forums. I remember as New Jedi Order got close to ending, she dropped out after Anakin's death. That was her – they drew the line. And I remember watching a lot of fans, you know, like some would either get to that point where they would reset, where they just accept that this is the way it is and it'll get back to being something they enjoy, or they just completely bomb out and they're like, I'm done. Bye. It was a fun ride. And usually those ones get really angry at Lucas. Those tend to be the ones you see those angered at Lucas directed blog posts on occasion. I'm not saying all of them, but I see a lot of old friends of mine that have gone the way of George ruined my EU. And it's just funny. I mean, it's sad that they feel that way, but it's funny at the same time because I see it all the time. There's always one fan that gets there and they're like, why did George not go with this? And then they get, you know, woke up to the whole canon levels and the headache. That's one thing as a fan, when you try to explain to somebody that has no idea about Star Wars fandom, how complex the story is.
Yeah.
What do you mean? What's a retcon? It's like, what's a retcon? Come sit down with me. Let's talk. It's going to take at least 20 minutes.
You're going to have one of your kids one of these days is going to be reading a Star Wars book and say, what's a retcon, Daddy? And then it'll be time for the talk. I didn't have to talk about the Star Wars talk. Oh, no.
Well,
let's have a talk about a thing called fandom.
Yeah, and here's another thought of mine. I don't mind if you say, well, I think Han shot first, and I prefer it that way. Yeah. I'm totally cool with that.
Yeah.
What I'm not cool with is you writing
You know what? George Lucas should die. I just wish he wouldn't make any more films. He is terrible. I can't believe he's ruined my childhood. I don't understand why this man keeps coming to my house and burning it down every week.
That, yes. That. I mind that.
Or I hate Matthew Stover. Matthew Stover is just the worst Star Wars author ever. He has no understanding of how the characters work. I just wish he would die, and then after he dies, that he would just move to Canada.
No!
Exactly.
Okay, yeah.
So it's a level of intensity that I can hit with relationships. You know, if you say a lot of nasty things to me, I will get really intense about it. You don't treat people that way, for instance. But if you get that intense over Han shot first, or this canon or that canon, or the fact that you don't like midichlorians, that you go into death threats, hatred, swearing, sending
vitriol.
Authors death threats while swearing.
I can forgive swearing. I mean, occasionally you get to a part and you're like,
no,
Dash has been on the Lady Luck.
I mean telling an author to go do horrible things to himself.
Which
is really which is actually
that kind of fandom.
This is what I mean by I mind that level of intensity. It's a set of movie guys. It's a set of movies with an S. And it is supposed to be fun. That's why I say we can dissect it all we want. We can talk about it. We can even friendly argue over it some, which yeah, Riley sure, and I do sure. too. You know, episode 5 is my favorite. Episode 3 is my favorite.
Yeah, Bethany and I go back and forth. Yeah. We've had this conversation so many times. Yeah. Andy Anatko,
episode 5 is better,
podcaster,
by the way.
Host of MacBreak Weekly and the Anatko Almanac and a bajillion other podcasts, does not like the special editions, does not like the prequels very much. And he did a 40-minute talk on what he did and didn't like about it. But guess what? Did that bother me? No, because he explained well-reasoned and intricate thought processes behind why he felt the way he did and was just as positive as he was negative in many cases. And that's what I'm talking about. That's fine. And expressing your opinion is definitely something we want to welcome at the Star Wars Report. Yeah. And as you can tell, this is not super happy fun time Star Wars Report podcast that it usually
is. This is called Bethany and Riley had a horrible week
therapy.
Topped off with someone who is really mean to us.
This is like a Star Wars therapy.
I've already got an idea for the title.
Oh.
Star Wars Report episode 29, Still Waters Run Deep.
Yeah, I'm afraid Riley and I are very far from being still waters.
Yeah,
But it's supposed to be fun. And I like people to disagree with me. I'm one of those weirdos who, if you disagree with me, I'm actually more interested than if you agree with me.
I think this is a pretty good episode.
So
that's right.
I welcome disagreement.
Yeah.
I enjoy disagreement. I like people telling me something different as long as they are willing to equally listen to me as well. You know, if I give you room to express your opinion, please give me a little room to express mine. Everything's all fair and equal. We can have a fun conversation. I love learning. I've been born and raised to be a learner. My older sister said once that Riley and I are some of the best, most learned people she knows in that we have a very broad knowledge of multiple topics, but not a very deep knowledge. So she was giving us advice saying, you know, you guys need to pick a few things and really become experts at those. And I understand and admire the fact that you guys know so many things about so many random and different and weird topics. For instance, the fact that ninjas have split-toed boots, you know, that's pretty cool. Just weird and random things. But I enjoy learning. But I like to have fun while I'm doing it.
Yeah.
See, Bethany, how you say you like it when people disagree with you and you're like curious as to why. I took that stance with retcons. I remember at first I was kind of like, why are they doing this? Then it became, you know, they weren't that frequent at the time because there wasn't that many books coming out. So it became like a treasure hunt. Like, ooh, maybe there's a mistake. Maybe they didn't quite catch everything. And it was kind of like, oh, I found one. And then it became, you know, a few years later, it was like, okay, there's like 12 in this book, 15 in this book. So it wasn't as fun. But then it became, well, each one of these is an opportunity for a new story. And I started looking at that as the way of seeing a retcon. Instead of being upset about it and irritated, I would start thinking of options. You know, what are the ways we can work this out? Because at the end of the day, if there is a continuity error, there is a story out there coming to fix it. Yeah. If not, they haven't thought of it yet.
Yeah. So I guess this is definitely, there's really no way to wrap up this discussion because it's going to be ongoing. We're going to keep talking about it. But yeah, just have fun. I think that's a great way to put it. And we're going to try to have fun. And this is why I often hesitate to go delve down into this kind of thing. Let's have fun. So the next half of the episode, let's have some fun. And speaking of fun, this episode of the Star Wars Report is brought to you by ToyHut.com. ToyHut.com is where you can find all the best arguments and hate people. No, I'm kidding. ToyHut.com is your source.
Toy Hut's going to be like, you're fired,
We are
man.
Fired now. Toy Hut is your place to go get Star Wars action figures. Do it now. If you disagree with me, what I want you to do is buy a dark side figure. If you agree with me, I want you to buy a light side figure. And when you check out, be sure to tell them that you were sent there either in rage or great appreciation by the Star Wars Report podcast.
And you can even get a Han Solo action figure and a Greedo action figure, and you can make Han shoot first.
Every day. It's therapy, guys. You can do it.
You can video it and put it on YouTube, too.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have absolutely no news that we've gotten to. Shall we bring him in? I guess I think it's high time We brought in Chris and Matt, our special guests for this episode from the Starlack Pit. So the Starlack Pit podcast.
It should be the Starlight Pit.
The Starlight. Starlight. Now I have to find them on Skype. There he is.
I love how
Starlight,
Dutch is.
Starlight, Starbright, first pit I see tonight. I think I might see a Sarlacc down in the
and,
bottom.
Let's see, Matt Krenke, see if we can find him. We've got Chris coming in, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And Matt, I don't see Matt.
I love how Duchess, our dog,
nope.
Our dog keeps walking in to check on us to make sure we're okay. She can kind of hear our raised voices, and she's always very in tune with what we're doing. And she takes the Mary Had a Little Lamb story way too heart.
You hear me?
She follows me around all the time.
Wow. Chris, my friend, how are you?
What's up?
Hey, you'll have to get right up in that microphone. It's a little quiet, but we can hear you. That's a good sign.
Hey, Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, I like that you got a camera, too. This is nice. I can't wait till we get this technology side of things going.
Oh, yeah.
What a conversation there, Riley.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm glad you're with us.
You just cleared the chat real quickly.
I know. They're just leaving like flies. I saw that a minute ago. Everybody's just dropping out. We're done here. That's it. This crazy man's out of here. He's out of his mind. Is Matt going to be with us, Chris? I don't see him on Skype.
I don't know. I think he came in earlier and heard you ranting and then left.
Oh, really? That's too bad. Like, no, seriously? Or you're joking now? Which one? Or both?
I'll leave that to you to decide. Okay,
he's leaving it up. I'd love to talk to you. We're gonna really get in depth on not the Star Wars fan community. We'll move right past that. But Bethany, I have no idea. I have no idea what to do next. I'm completely befuddled and disoriented. Do we do news or do we interview Chris?
Start with interviewing Chris.
Let's start with Chris. All right.
Chris,
who
are you and what is the Sarlacc Pit?
Yes, let's begin with a formal introduction. What is the elevator pitch? When you're sitting there with Steve Sansweet and he says, what on earth is the Sarlacc Pit?
Well, he already knows what it is, so I wouldn't be pitching it to him.
Oh, well look who we're... Oh, my. Excuse me. I should have worn a tie, my friend.
I like this radio DJ thing you got going here, Riley.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, the Sarlacc Pit's similar to y'all's, to your podcast. Y'all do, basically, y'all take the news. And what we want to do on our podcast is we touch a little bit on news, but then we want to take a particular topic in Star Wars and beat it to death, kind of like what y'all just did earlier.
That's what we
dissect
do
it and get everybody's opinion on it. But see, that's what we like. What you were talking about earlier, we really like that. We like to hear everybody's opinion, even if it's not the same as ours, even if it's, you know, wrong in our mind or my mind. You know, everybody's got their own opinion and they have the right to it. It kind of with what you said earlier, I don't mind somebody having a different opinion, as long as they don't berate other people for having a different opinion.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Accept it and move on.
Mm-hmm. I mean, people are different, man.
Good answer. Amen. Amen, brother.
Good political answer there, right?
I know. Unlike me, I just completely violated every single common sense rule that I've ever thought about when I started podcasting. You know what I should never do? Bring up a really controversial topic and then act like a bigoted meanie. No, but no, I feel it's therapy. It's Star Wars yoga that I feel like I just did. I've never felt better after expressing that. And I to couch what I said earlier, you know, I'm right there. I'm not going to berate this gentleman who wrote the article just for having a different opinion. I will, however...
Well imagine how you sat there and said you feel like an old guy because you're 20 years old. Imagine how I feel, and I've been with Star Wars since day one. So, you know, this is 35 years this year, so...
Yeah.
You know, imagine how I feel, you know...
Yeah, that's why I was being so quiet. I'm like, I got aged fast.
It is fun to hear the different opinions, and I do welcome them, and that's why I want people who do want to contribute to the further conversation to send us an email, StarWarsReport@gmail.com, and let us know what you think. Just don't give us horrible iTunes reviews. That's a no. But yeah, send us an email, find us on Facebook and Twitter, see what you think, and I'd love to hear the different response from our listeners, because I know we have listeners who will agree with me heartily, and I know we have listeners who now hate the podcast, probably. And so, not to be all divisive, but yeah, I'd love to encourage some feedback. Chris, let me ask you, how did the Sarlacc pit start? I almost called it the Sarlacc pit again. But how did it all start?
Gee whiz, man! Can you get the name right?
I know I'm I'm fired.
Well, it kind of started. You know, I listened to all the major Star Wars podcasts several years ago, and I kind of got frustrated because me just being a fan, like all of you are, I wanted to be able to sit down and talk, but none of the podcasts that I had really dealt with at first or listened to. Most of them either didn't have guests, or they had nothing but basically, you know, Star Wars people, famous people.
Yeah.
And of course, I ran across, started kind of working a little bit with the Unknown Regions, mm-hmm. and started doing a little bit of work with them. And then this whole time, I wanted my own podcast, but I didn't know how to do it. I had no clue how to do it, but it was just like in the back of my head. And as luck came about, I ran into Matt. And met Matt through his podcast, and I'm sitting there thinking and telling him about this idea and this podcast that I want to do, and then I'm looking for a co-host, and then it dawned on me, well, he's sitting right in front of me, and so I asked him, I said, hey, you want to do another podcast?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, heck yeah, any chance to talk about more Star Wars.
There you go. And I love the show. I remember it would have been fall... 2009 or 2010. I'm trying to place it. It was fall. I believe it was 2009. I can't believe that. Has it been that long? The Sarlacc Pit.
Our first show.
Yeah.
July of 2010.
2010. Okay. All right. I'm completely off. Summer 2010. I remember hearing about this new podcast, and I wanted to. You're going to try a new one out, and I heard about you guys, I think it was from the Unknown Regions, I had heard you on, and so I decided to tune in. Your very first episode, you talked about, I mean, it's seared in my mind, it's really funny how this worked, but I distinctly remember I was raking, or doing some kind of lawn care work. I'm now doubting that it was raking because it wasn't fall. but I remember listening, and you guys talked about, like, the top 100 best classic, most awesomest American films, blah, 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 whatever the list was. A big list, and talked about where Star Wars placed on it. And I remember you, Chris, being very indignant about the placing of Star Wars, that it was not in the top 10, not even, I don't think, in the top 25 or so. And I remember thinking that it's interesting because I'm a classic film buff. I love watching the old Humphrey Bogart films, old... films in general, the black and white films of the olden golden days of cinema. Now you secretly know why I'm like an old grumpy fellow, because I'm secretly 80 years old. but I remember this happening, and I really enjoyed that episode. And what the best part is that I've been wanting for years, Chris, years to watch the film. Citizen Kane. I almost
Citizen
called it the
Kane.
Not the Kane Mutiny. That's a Humphrey Bogart film from the 60s. Citizen Kane. I've been wanting to watch this for years. I've heard great things. It's like some of the supposedly best films of all time. It has a great cultural thing. But I never watched it, and I never found out the thing. And this was the first time. This was long before I was doing a podcast of my own or anything like that. Regularly, anyway. And this is the first time I was spoiled to something on a podcast. Because it's really hard to spoil me. I already know most everything there is to know. But you spoiled the end of Citizen Kane, 1920-something Citizen Kane. And I was angry, man. I've talked to you so many times on your podcast, and you've been on our podcast, and I have, to this day, never convinced. So while I'm in the episode of getting things off my chest, it was July 2010. 2 years ago, and a day that'll be long remembered. Then you spoiled the ending. I don't even know if Bethany knows the ending to this film, and I've never watched the movie.
Don't tell me.
I have never watched this stupid movie.
I don't think I spoiled it. I think didn't I put out a spoiler warning?
You did. I'm giving you a hard time.
Then the fault goes back to you for not.
I know.
You were advised.
I was advised, but the 17-year-old self at the time thought, well, how bad can it be? It's a film from the 1920s. What would I not already know? And it was just happened to be like the linchpin of the whole plot. So it was my fault. I'm giving you a hard time, but it was my fault. But yeah, that first episode.
So what did you think of the movie?
I haven't seen it yet. That's the thing.
Actually, it was 1941. 41. So, but anyway.
Thank you. 41. Look at you, Mr. IMDb there. I see you there. let me just say, I love the Starlight Pit. You guys do a great job. And let me just compliment you. Your show has constantly been growing in the fan community. And your audio quality, you've got a new mic set up. I love it. It's awesome. I mean, we're looking at each other on the Skype videos, and look at us with our headsets and microphones. You'd think that we actually knew what we were doing here.
Yeah.
We don't?
You know, Riley, I got this new setup, you know, and you helped me set it all up when I got it last month. And we did our Christmas show, and when I went back to do the editing, it sounded horrible.
Oh, no.
I didn't have it set up right, and I sounded like I was like 20 feet away from the mic, even though I'm sitting like I am right now. And everybody else sounded fine, so... I couldn't fix it. There wasn't anything we can do to fix it.
Oh, too bad.
You sound great now.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. You sound great on our show. So.
Well, I did a lot of tweaking. So.
All right. But I'm glad it's working out. And what are you guys up to now with the Sarlacc Pit? What are you guys doing?
Well, right now we started this Leia's Journey for Baby Leia. Mm-hmm. I believe y'all have mentioned it. And y'all know about it, where I'm sending around this 12-inch Leia in indoor outfit, and she's traveling the world to help raise awareness and money for baby Leia and her family. And we just started like 2 weeks ago and already have like between 40 and 50 locations where people want her to come and visit.
Nice.
I don't know if y'all have noticed just in the last couple of days, if you hadn't, check our Facebook page out, facebook.com/Leia's Journey. And she was at Disneyland a couple of days ago. And then yesterday they did a Joe Magnano and a couple of their friends, the Mandalorian Mercs, the 501st, and also Daniel Logan joined them for a fundraiser in somewhere in California. I can't remember the name of the place. And now she's off to, she is at Rancho Obi-Wan today.
Hey.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
that's
so
great. I'm jealous of her now. Yeah.
I'm jealous of this 12-inch doll.
Believe me, I am too, because it's mine.
Well, don't worry, Chris. She'll tell you all about it.
Okay, well, people on the chat are asking.
That's what's funny.
Okay, people on the chat are asking if they can get her to visit them. And the answer to that is yes. Go to the Facebook link that I just sent you guys.
Yep.
And you can ask Chris there and tell him where you live and get all that information out if you're interested.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
just tell me what part of the country you live. Say, like, Memphis, Tennessee. Don't give me your address on Facebook, please. And, yeah, we'll put you on the list and we'll work it around. We've got people from Brazil, Tokyo, Japan, Ecuador, Norway. We've got all over the world that people want this doll, so...
Yep, that's awesome.
I remember seeing this page, and I was just like, oh, that's a really cool idea, you know, because I'm part of the Leia's Angels on Facebook. And so I saw it there, and then I went to the page, and I was like, oh, it's Chris. Well, that's awesome. Like, what a small community, you know, helping out for this beautiful little girl. I mean, she just had that little photo shoot not too long ago, and then we got this little Leia thing going out, and... The story is, like you said, it's only been 2 weeks. It feels like it's been out for months now, but 2 weeks? Wow. You've really been getting around with that doll.
Yeah, we got a lot of really cool things coming up that I can't really talk about because it's not 100% confirmed yet, but
Come on. Give us an exclusive scoop.
A hint.
Yeah,
a
teaser.
Just looking at the, if you like where she's been so far and the fact she's at Rancho Obi-Wan this weekend, just wait.
Like she's going to Tatooine.
Skywalker Ranch.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that's amazing. Again, that's facebook.com/Leia's Journey.
And actually, if I can mention it, I just added something to it yesterday that I thought would be a really neat thing to do. It's basically for people, say like Joe and them, they just got her today. Anybody that has Leia in her location, but it could go for anybody. Whoever has her in that particular location to get a postcard specific from their area and then write a little message to Baby Leia and then send it and then mail it to me. And with Starlight Pitch, you can go on the website. You can check out Leia's Journey for Baby Leia at blogspot.com, and you can get the address and all the information there. And what I'm doing is all the postcards that come in, I'll compile them. And then once this journey's over with, all of the postcards and the doll will be going to Baby Leia.
See, this is what the Star Wars fan community is really all about. I'm telling you, this is awesome. I don't think I've ever had such a mood swing during a podcast, but I'm now all warm and fuzzy, Chris. I'm all warm and fuzzy, and I'm really glad that you joined us. Tell you what, guys, I think I don't want to taint this episode with news, honestly. I think what I'd love to do is instead, we got a few more minutes, just finish out the show, and let's talk some Clone Wars. Sound good?
Sure.
Actually, I had one thing I want to talk about that's news that goes along with your bubbly feeling, actually.
Oh, okay. All right, well, let's do it.
Daniel Logan.
Oh, no.
Our own Boba Fett.
Oh, boy.
Rescued from drowning, no less. I believe it was a six-year-old little girl. Her parents were not even around when he found her. I remember seeing this tweet and was just like, whoa. You know, the thought about being at the ocean and leaving your kid unattended just blows my mind. But then to have Boba Fett come and save your child.
Boba Fett.
She's no good to me, dead. You know, I think that's just awesome.
You know, Mark, I should have seen that pun coming, and I didn't. And that just hit.
Yeah.
Where is this article at?
Awesome.
Okay, I'll give you guys a link real quick. But yeah, he saved a six-year-old girl, it says, from being pulled in by an undertow. And any of you guys who've been at an ocean before, you know undertows are extremely dangerous. They can kill you really quickly, just suck you right under and drowned you.
Even on rivers.
Drowned-ify you.
I know.
Oh, wow. We've got some hold music, Chris. I like that.
Where is that coming from?
That would be the commercial on my end.
Okay, it sounds good. Okay. I kind of like that. That mellowed the mood a little bit.
Yeah, that is the annoyance of broadcasting on Ustream, though. You guys will get commercials.
Yeah, that's okay. Tell you what, let's talk some Clone Wars. Have you seen the latest Clone Wars episode, Chris?
Of course he has.
Yes, I have.
Escape from Kadavo. Mark?
Can we talk about the one before first?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Chris, be my guest. Bring it. What?
We could talk about the whole arc, Chris.
I just have one comment.
Let's do it. Let's
Ahsoka
do it.
In her slave girl outfit.
Oh, boy.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, boy. Okay, what's coming?
And we'll leave that there. No, I agree
that's
with
all
you.
That's the same.
It was better than the one in the comic. I'll tell you that. It was better than the one in the comic.
This is true.
You've read the comic?
Very, very true. No, but
hats off. I haven't read that comic yet. I just know the infamous picture from the comic.
Yes,
I just know the picture.
The infamous. Yeah, it was pushing it. I think that, but it's been a great arc of episodes. I've really enjoyed the theme of slavery, especially when it comes to Anakin Skywalker and the way that these episodes really delve into what makes him tick and why he really just hates with a passion a slaver. Yeah. Mark, thoughts on this arc and this last episode?
Well, like you said it, there's a heart to Anakin here. I want to see him, the transition at some point down the road with him as Vader, because we do see him really hating slavers, and yet we know he's perfectly fine with Emperor Palpatine enslaving entire planets. And so I want to see down the road that flip the script, because right now I'm loving what they're doing with it. It makes sense. Everything about it makes sense. But what doesn't make sense is who he becomes later. They haven't found a way to make that side of things work. I have yet to really kind of wrap my head around it enough. I mean, I can get committing to the dark side to try to save your wife, and oops, I killed her. Oh, now I'm stuck. I'm stuck on the dark side. But you've been so against slavery this whole time, and now you're going to be okay with it. So they do a really good job of playing up Anakin right now in the Clone Wars, but it definitely gets my mind going, where are they going to go with it later? Because they do such a good job. I'm like, this does not at all seem like the Vader I know, but at the same time, it does make sense to the background of Anakin, and I think they did an incredible job of character development with Anakin in this series. I really liked his relationship with the Queen, and how by the end of the episode, he got her to realize that she was just as much a slave to the program and the act of slavery itself. And I thought that was a really profound moment in the story, and a profound moment for him, that he was actually able to break through to a slaver and get him to realize the mistake of their ways.
Yeah.
I think it also, one problem I have with Anakin as a person, like if he were real and standing in front of me, is his selfishness. He hates slavers, but he cares more about his feelings for Padme and more about himself than he does care about entire planets being enslaved. He wants Padme more than he wants the galaxy to be at peace.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. I loved this this most recent episode in the way that I didn't really like the character of the slaver queen, but you weren't really supposed to. She was kind of not exactly somebody you'd want to hang out with.
Yeah, I liked her though because we didn't like her. She was a good villain in that a lot of people found her. She grated on them. They didn't like her character. Mark, Chris, did you guys not like her? Riley and I maybe it was just a bad day.
I think it's going to be the species.
Her.
You know, the rat-like feeling of the species. You just don't trust them. That's how it was for me.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even think of that. Now the next time I see that, I'll be, dadgummit, look at that. They look like a rat. to be honest, I didn't really think one way or the other about her at all. To me, I just saw her basically as, I guess, kind of like what Vader ends up becoming. He's just a pawn. She's supposedly the leader, but no, she wasn't. As we found out later in the episode, she wasn't. The whole subject on slavery is with this, and they really show it and his feelings, and Ahsoka starts to see some more things about Anakin. She's learning more about Anakin and things that Obi-Wan already knew. And yeah, slavery and the situation they're using it, and in some situations it's beneficial, but it's why in the world would anybody even remotely even consider owning somebody is beyond me. But I mean, it doesn't make much sense. But
yeah,
I really did like this episode and the fact that I like the whole Return of the Jedi feel with the Jabba's palace and how they kind of mirrored a lot of that with it. Mm-hmm. And the fight sequences were just really, really cool to me.
Yeah. You know, Chris, you brought up a point. You mentioned how Ahsoka's learning about Anakin. I was thinking, one of the things I really enjoyed was Kenobi and Rex's story of how, they became slaves and Obi-Wan had to realize that, any kind of resistance was going to get the other slaves killed. And I was thinking, it felt like it was Anakin and Obi-Wan's story, and I really felt like Ahsoka kind of got shafted. But then your comment brought fact to me just now, an epiphany, if you will, that you're right. That was the heart of her part of the story, was seeing Anakin. I mean, she didn't play a big role to me when I was watching. I didn't recall it being very big, but I think what she witnessed in her master and the events going around, I think that was where her story was being told, not so much in the action of, but I remember just Kenobi and Rex, that whole part of the story, I was really enjoying it and seeing them, kind of adapt to where they were, and Kenobi trying to find ways to adapt and couldn't, and finally had to kind of give in as it was.
Let me tell you something, Mark. I also loved the ending there where the slaver was telling Obi-Wan, he's like, "Well, you're a Jedi. You'd never hurt me."
And yeah. Rex is like, no,
but didn't it seem like Obi-Wan gave him the or like go
yeah,
ahead?
Yeah, Obi-Wan you, totally gave him like the little.
We got an out. Here's our catch-22. His name's Rex.
The wink, the wink, and the nod. Yes, yes, I saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was definitely. You know, go ahead, Chris.
I was gonna say there was one other thing that I believe it was the episode before. I just recently rewatched the whole arc, and I believe it was the episode before. Something that just struck me really, really funny was when they put Ahsoka in the cage, and she's just sitting there peacefully meditating, and then this other guy comes up behind her, up above her, and starts smarting off to her, and then she doesn't even open up her eyes. She just flips her hand, flips him right off the ledge, and I was like, all right, yeah, that was good. I like that.
Yeah.
A little humor.
Yeah, I thought that was
there.
Good. Touch.
Uh-huh.
The most telling part of the whole episode to me, though, was at the end, where Anakin is just kind of slaughtering these guards haphazardly in typical Anakin fashion. He's not nearly, he doesn't quite have the same reservations that someone like Obi-Wan would usually have. And so there's this look that Ahsoka gives him, which I thought was very telling. It's very brief, and it's right at the end of the episode. But it's kind of like this exasperated, there he goes again, slaughtering all the people haphazardly. It's not the Jedi way, but there's nothing I can really do about it.
I kind of looked between them at the end of the episode as well, and it seemed like Ahsoka was a surprise in a way. She had that aspect of her, yes, but that look that I caught, perhaps I just interpreted it differently, and it was just one look, but a look of almost surprise and fear. And
really?
Anakin looked back at her and just kind of seemed to shrug it off in a way. Try to bring things back to normal, you know. But, Chris, what you mentioned about not knowing why people would enslave other people, it is a modern-day issue that a lot of people aren't aware of. There is slavery going on
yeah.
in the world.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, if you're a kid, don't be stupid and walk into a mall very late into the deep, dark corners and say, come kidnap me. Just don't.
Well,
slavery happens. Kidnapping happens.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. It's like as we sit and have fun with our iPhones, not thinking about who's making them. And yeah, it's a serious issue, and I like the way that the Clone Wars has definitely treated it as such, that it is a serious issue, and I think it's a good arc. Although I'm ready for the season finale. As much as I enjoyed these most recent episodes, I am ready for the finale.
Yeah.
The Death Watch.
We just had a long break. How could you be ready?
But no. The build up. The build-up. Let me clarify. Okay, let me clarify. The build-up to the finale. I'm looking forward to the Death Watch is in next week, and of course, the return of Darth Maul, who, according to Sam Witwer's IMDb page, now says and confirms, and we know there's no such honorable and reliable source, that is IMDb. I'm being facetious there, by the way. and it says, although my bet is that person read our interview with the very one Sam Witwer from Dragon Con and said, it sounds like he's doing Darth Maul. Look, I'm going to put it on IMDb. It must be true. And which, of course, yeah. isn't true at all. It hasn't really been confirmed at all. But it is. There's no way it's somebody else. Oh, and while we're talking about Clone Wars, we'll talk about what's coming up in the season finale in just a second. But while we're talking some Clone Wars, let me highlight an amazing article that was just written on the 5th this past week. Aaron Goins, our writer, hit another one out of the park. Every time he does an article for us, he does such an amazing job and puts such foresight into it. And he did the top 10 clones of the Clone Wars, and head over to StarWarsReport.com and you'll find it there. I always love this because it's a different medium. It's not something I'm good at, but something I have the ultimate respect for. People who can write engaging and entertaining written content that keeps you reading, because I'm not a good reader.
Actually, and surprisingly enough, or perhaps not surprisingly, as our show notes, when you said we're going to talk about the Clone Wars, I ran over to our site and started pulling up Ryan's reviews so that I could skim over them as I talked.
Can't plug enough. Ryan's has another writer for us in his weekly Clone Wars reviews that he does over at StarWarsReport.com. So if you're just listening to us, which I know many of you are, just through iTunes, head over to StarWarsReport.com. Bethany does an outstanding job every week of doing great show notes for every single episode, as well as all of our writers and blog posts, Pete Morrison, all those guys who help us make this site an engaging site that's not just a house for a podcast, but actually creates engaging, inspiring, and entertaining content for you, the listener and reader. I sound like an advertisement now. Order now, and you'll receive a free...
a free podcast?
A free podcast, exactly. I wanted to highlight that. Did you guys want to bring up anything before we move into our speculation?
What are we speculating about?
I'm ready to speculate.
All right, let's take a listen. The next episode is called A Friend in Need. We are friends.
I'm not going to sing.
Oh, okay. A Friend in Need, here it is.
I'm so not singing.
Those are some rather strong accusations you have levied against me.
You know what you did, Dooku.
Do I? I have done a lot of things, young man, and choose to remember them in order of importance. The death of your mother seems to have escaped me.
I will have my revenge.
I think it is time we reacquaint the young senator with his mother. Kill him.
Ahsoka?
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. The Clone Wars Season 4, Episode... What are we at now? I don't even remember. Season 4, Episode 14. 14 of 22. It's wrapping up too quickly. But I'm glad it's back from the holiday break. That was, of course... young separatist senator, not Republic senator, Lux Bonteri, what people have called a love interest with Ahsoka Tano, which I kind of laugh at because really there is a brief flirtation entirely on, well, not entirely on, but mostly on Ahsoka's part. In what was it, season 2, I believe? Maybe it was season 3?
I'm telling you, man, shippers, they breed and die off of those little whispers and hints.
They do. But they are returning, and it seems like their relationship will blossom as he joins Death Watch and starts fighting her. I'm sure. But yeah, the Death Watch return, or as I like to call them, the Mandalorians. I'm looking forward to this episode. This airs tomorrow night, probably tonight as you're listening to this podcast, if you're listening to it the day it's released, in which case you're hardcore and always checking, and you're awesome for doing that. But yeah, we've got that. Do we have anything else, or is it straight on to the final continuation of the Savage Opress Darth Maul's Ventress storyline?
I did want to say that I love Mandalorians. I just love them. I love reading books.
How could I forget?
I'm right there with you. I'll take the Death Watch and call them, you know, Mandalorians, because, hey, why not? They are. They're wearing the armor.
That's good enough for me. It's good enough for me, my friend. And not to forget, Katie Sackhoff. When you were seeing the original Battlestar Galactica, the reimagined Battlestar Galactica series, Mark, did you not think to yourself awesome at some point, show, wouldn't she be an awesome Mandalorian?
I did, actually. I was like, you know, she needs to have like an owl-type mask, too, because that would work.
Especially with like the way she has the character of Starbuck, and BSG has this almost Mandalorian-style flight suit, in the way it kind of like, you kind of see it. I can see it.
Yeah. I could see like her in Pre Vizsla. How's it going there? Whatever her new name is. I'm dancing in the rain, or whatever she says. Just running in the rain.
But
you're talking about Mandalorians and the armor, and a good point here. Boba Fett wasn't supposed to even be Mandalorian. He was just supposed to be wearing their armor. So, I mean, you know, you throw armor on him, and it's Mandalorian enough to me. It's been Mandalorian enough for fans for years, so why not?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chris, what do you think about Mandalorians? You've run into a bunch of Mandalorian lovers here.
I've always liked Boba Fett. I always thought he was one of the coolest characters from back in the day. you know, before you youngsters were around. You know, I first saw him on the holiday Christmas special, you know, the Star Wars holiday special.
Oh, a classic.
Yep.
Love
it. I've seen that, by the way.
The holiday special?
I have watched that on, yep. I watched the first half regular speed, the last half at times 20 speed. Yes, I watched it all the way through.
You'd be shocked, Chris. I have actually seen the first 12 minutes. I got through the first 12 minutes.
I haven't even seen that.
Oh. We're going to do it. We need to do a commentary. But,
you are not Star Wars fans.
Oh, no. Oh, not you, too.
Oh, here comes the true fan.
I had to have somebody make me a copy, though. I have a copy of it.
You're
on
kidding.
My
really? What's funny is that it's actually listed on Google.
I only watched it once, though.
Google Video has a copy of the whole thing. Like they have it uploaded. Which is Google Video, of course, the precursor to YouTube before they bought YouTube out. But I'm sure you can find it on YouTube now and stuff. But what was it that referenced the holiday special that was in official canon recently? I don't even remember.
I have no idea.
I remember it coming up, but it's not me. So yeah,
talk about
ahead.
A TV show.
I'm sorry.
Are you talking about a like pop culture TV show?
I don't even remember honestly, Chris. But I do. The holiday special definitely a breed of its own. It's funny we're only like 2 weeks removed from the holidays, but it already feels like it's been forever ago. But I'm telling you, next year, we're going to do a commentary. I'm telling you, we need to do it. Bethany.
Yes. Do it with us.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. A team venture. I think you need at least 6 or 7 people to be able to continue the conversation for that long throughout the whole thing without just like a gasp silence
like
for 5 minutes.
I do.
You know? Oh, wow. Oh, me. Bethany, I would suggest, since we are over our traditional hour, I would say this will not be a re-podcast. Oh, yeah. Oh, you're not kidding. But let's continue on. But I want to talk about some of our
Well, actually, Paige Turner's is live in about 2 minutes.
Probably less than that, actually.
Not that,
okay,
not that
yes,
it matters.
Yes, he who is ignoring the Skype chat. No. We have 3 minutes, 2 minutes. We got 1 minute. We got 12 seconds. Okay, it's time to the show.
Well, they would be if we were on station. Of course,
then
now we just reverted to Ustream. So I'm telling you guys, we can be here for 3 hours.
So
we're going to be here the whole night.
Mark's got to record with Nathan at PC.
Mark, yeah, I know, Mark, you have to leave soon. But I'm going to briefly mention some exciting plans on the other side of the break. Cue the music, Jim. What?
Hey, your microphone was
muted. Oh, my microphone was muted. Oh, no. Oh, I love the technical difficulties in the outro. I just love it when that happens. Not. Thanks, everybody, for tuning into this particular episode of the Star Wars Report. This fun-filled adventure. This crazy time. I've never been so excited to be in the Star Wars fan community and talking about Star Wars each and every week, something that I love and love talking about. So I have fun. Thanks for joining us, Chris. Thanks for joining us, Mark and Bethany. I had a great time this evening. And I just, as I teased right before the kind of flawed musical intro.
Outro.
Thank you. It's late. We got some big plans. We're going to be at Celebration. Although, single tier, Mark, I think it's high time. Unfortunately, we're going to have to say it. Mark, you will not be able to attend Celebration this year. It's very unfortunate.
Yeah.
That was an excellent time. Oh. It's really too bad, but we had a long conversation, and I do think it's for the better that it's unfortunate, but you've got some family things going on. You've got a new Padawan on the way, and you've got bigger, better, and greater things to be concerned with, and I think it's the right decision that you made. And I'm
plus,
glad you did.
Plus, we got the Rose City Comic Con coming up within the same month?
Yeah.
4 week period or
something. So you can report.
So I will be able to go there.
Yeah, there you go. Some conventions for you in the future anyway, even though it's not Celebration. We will be there, though. And we'll be there hopefully hosting a panel. But we would like to brainstorm and come up with some ideas to submit as a panel to go. Chris, we've been talking about this since fan days, but we are going to come up with an idea somehow.
Yes, we are. In fact, I was talking about that at work the other day.
Yeah.
With one of Scoot that I work with. He's been on our show several times. We were talking about that. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And we'll come up with something. We may be a joint venture of some kind, but we'll think of something. Also, we'll be doing, besides that, we'll be attending, the plan is to attend Dragon Con. And there are a few others that we might be doing this year. It just depends on how things work out. Also, I'm super excited about an upcoming site redesign where we'll be moving over to the Middle-Earth Network servers, and some of those guys will be redesigning the site. So that's very exciting stuff, as well as not just that, but really cross-promoting with other podcasts on the network and really introducing ourselves and the Star Wars fan community to sci-fi and fantasy fans who may not be as familiar with it. Welcome to the chaos. That is the Star Wars Report. And so that's going to be very exciting. We got all kinds of really fun plans. We'll be talking more about them throughout the year. Stay tuned to the Star Wars Report. It's a fun journey. It's been an up and down episode, I know, but this is not our typical format. And we'll be back next week with our typical fun and games as we talk about the latest news from the Star Wars galaxy and people like Daniel Logan, Boba Fett. The Rescue Squad Edition. that's not fun. If you want to contact us, tell me how terribly wrong I am or how amazingly right I am, preferably. email us, starwarsreport@gmail.com. You also want to send us a tweet or hit us up on Facebook. Just look for the Star Wars Report, as well as leave us some of them good old iTunes reviews. That's always helpful in letting people know that you're listening to us. And once again, we thank Toy Hut for sponsoring this particular episode of the Star Wars Report and continuing to do so as they have these past months. So thank you so much. Guys, I've had a great time tonight. I have. I've had a fantastic time.
I was pretty nervous coming into it, but I had a good time.
Yeah, it was fun. Fun time.
Nervous coming in?
Wait till this thing hits the feeds and the emails start coming in. That's going to be a lot of fun.
I wasn't sure I was going to make it. I mean, we were down at the hospital there for a while.
Well, that's
and,
right.
My wife's now on bed rest because of things with little Jaina. So it was like, I was like texting Bethany going, I should be there. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm glad you made it, Mark. And I'm glad everything turned out all right. That's going to do it for this episode. Thank you, Chris, for coming on and talking about the Sarlacc Pit. We'll have you back on. It's always fun.
Yeah. Heck yeah, anytime.
All right, that's going to do it for this particular episode. Remember, and do not forget, the ultimate importance. Remember the fallen. Many Bothans. Well, they died. No way of sugarcoating it. They died to bring you this podcast.
Gloriously.